It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, it's 7 o'clock here on the 29th of November 2018. Lord's not making another one. Man, thanks for joining. I couldn't wait to get down. I feel like that every day. I couldn't wait to get down. Just kind of, you guys are so stimulating. That crowd out there is so stimulating. You know, the craziest thing that I'm trying to figure out, you know, people always ask me, how many people listen? And I don't know if we really even have any idea. I mean, we know how many's in the queue. I see here is 30 people that are part of the queue, but we're on a lot of different platforms, a lot of different things. And I just can't, I heard yesterday from, where was it? South Africa. I heard from South Africa yesterday. I heard from some guy, I don't have it from somewhere in the Middle East again yesterday. The reach is unbelievable. I don't know what's going on. And then, of course, I continue to hear from the, I can say this because I'm already banned on Facebook, the sexual pervert. Like I heard from this guy here. Let's see. I get these kind of things all the time. You think it's fun being me? He says, he said this. So who do you want to F you? I'll be gentle and discreet. I'll even use a condom if you want. I hope you don't mind if I kiss you. You are a hot man. I'm about the same age as you. Should I come to Ohio or do you want to come to Chicago? I get this kind of crap all the time. The wickedness that is out there is just absolutely unbelievable. But I thank God for the people that are here in the queue today. I thank God that something we're doing, as I'm scrolling down through here, something we're doing is resonating, boys and girls. It's resonating. I got a real nice email from Mike Spalding yesterday of encouragement from Mike, and there's just something going on. So I'm honored to be sitting in this chair, and I'm honored to have you guys be part of it. And I'm honored to look around me and see men of God not only coming out of their coming out of their cocoon, but becoming more aggressive with what's going on. And it's what I wrote about today at newswithyous.com. I'm not gonna go there yet. Couple things I want to touch on before we do. When was that? Was that show something yesterday? I mean, was that unbelievable? What the Lord put together yesterday, and to help us to understand that the depth of our understanding of what's going on around us is so shallow, so shallow. So I woke up this morning, Jared. I just sent this to you. It says Phil Collins. I probably can't play. Listen. Do you know that on Facebook, I can't post anything? So you send me a thing on, what's that called? Messenger. You post something on something I posted. Do you know that right now for 30 days, I can't even respond? But even worse than that, you know the perverts can post on my page, but I can't do anything about it. I can't respond. I can't block them. I can't say, go kiss your mom. I can't do anything. We are in an info war. So this is, I was going to say I can't play this very long because they'll ban me on YouTube for copyright infringement. But I think I get like 30 seconds or something. But I was listening. This popped into my head yesterday. You know, I love to sing that song, Something's Happening Here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. That's what Chad says, right? Beware, be aware. Well, I got a new one. Phil Collins. Listen to the opening of this. Maybe we can get away without YouTube banning us for copyright infringement. Tell me if any of you feel like this. Go ahead, Jared. Play that real quickly here. Don't tell anybody. Lyrics are on the screen as well.
Something's
Do you feel it? Okay, Jared. Boy, can't you feel it? Am I the only one? Can't you feel something is going on like we have never experienced before? And here's the thing. I don't know if it's good or if it's bad, but I feel it. Something in the air tonight. Oh, Lord, something coming. Whoa. I've been waiting for all my life. I wish I could sing. Oh, Lord. Anybody with me on it? Anybody out there feel something's coming in the air? Anybody feel it?
Hey, Coach, you can sing. You just can't sing good. All right?
Well, can't sing well. I know all the
Amen,
words.
Brother. Amen.
There's something coming, baby. There is something coming.
Hey, Coach, I missed yesterday's show, and it looks like several weeks. It looks like for the next several weeks on Wednesdays, I'm going to be missing the shows because I'm meeting up with a group of gentlemen here, and we're spending an hour in prayer, just a straight hour in prayer, praying about our community, praying about everything that you can come up with. But I got to listen to the show yesterday afternoon, and I listened to you at 1.5 times, and I'm telling you, you want to hear something interesting. You listened to yesterday's show at 1.5 times, and it's interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting anyway. And did Dale should join us in here yet? Because I want to make sure Dale's in here. Hey, he's not. So when Dale comes in, if everybody's
in here,
oh Dale, I just want my wife just sang your praises yesterday. She just said, "Man," she says, "Dale Socha adds so much to that show." She says, "Where is that stuff coming inside of him?" So Dale, I just want to pass that along. Not just Dale, but as I was saying before we went on the air, yeah, it's Pass the Salt with Coach, but it's not, man. It's big. It is so much bigger. It's just so much bigger. And
Proverbs 27:17, Coach. Proverbs 27:17.
What's that mean?
It says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Come on, Coach. You bring a lot. You bring it. You're the stick in the gumbo, brother. Keep stirring.
That's right, brother. And isn't it? I want you to think. For you, just not Dale, but everybody that's watching this show. Can you believe how much you've grown? I mean, if you could go back and look at yourself 3 years ago, for those of you who've been watching, it'd be 3 years in January, 5 days a week, people say, "You go to church anywhere?" I don't even know how to answer. I don't even know what to tell them when they ask me that. And think about it. Think of the depth of your growth. Now, we're not all in the same spot. We don't all agree the same thing. But hasn't there been a Christian intellectual curiosity that's been birthed in you? Isn't that awesome? Don't you? I can feel it in the air tonight. Don't you walk around and you look at things and you see things and you know that you're seeing things that other people aren't seeing? Anybody feel that way but me? Am I the only guy feeling that way? That's a question.
Amen.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Buddy, it's something going on. Huh? There's something going on.
Amen.
I just want you to know every day I'm just honored to be part of it. Let me jump into some what'd you pull up there, Jared? As iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. We're all friends, man. And you sharpen me and I sharpen you, and we're gonna be sharp because something's unfeeling in the air tonight. Hey, Panama City, let me throw that up there again. God bless Jim Kraft. Jim's in here today. I see him down in there. And I understand Jim may not be able to be with us, which is, we certainly understand that. But Jim's working hard to keep things going on. And he texted me yesterday and said, "Listen, Coach, here's what we got set up. Anybody that can come down there, we got a place to stay, $10 a night. It includes food, two meals, breakfast and supper, dinner, whatever you call that, a place to sleep, shower, go to the restroom, and have church camp. So if you say, well, I can't, by the way, Pass the Salt will pick up, is going to pick up that price for everybody who comes. So if you're going to come, Jim said, well, Jim, can you come in? I don't know. Sometimes Jim's, he's down there in Dindar Hills, down there in Appalachia. Sometimes he can't get in here quite as easy as everybody else. But he's listening. You got to bring a, sometimes if you're going to, it's going to be sleeping on a, you got to bring a cot. Listen, if, listen, folks, if you are, if you're flying in, don't bring a sleeping bag and all that stuff. We'll go to Walmart and we'll buy a sleeping bag, air mattress, because you got to pay a whole bunch of money to bring that kind of stuff. So if you, you know, you get down there, but know that you're going to sleep on a cot or on a floor or on an air mattress or whatever. It's going to be a bunch of us that are going to be there. It is going to be Chad, church camp for adults. Two meals are going to be taken care of. So your expenses are going to be taken care of. So if you know anybody that says, gee, I don't know if I, I don't know if I can afford to go, that cannot be an obstacle. Okay. You say, what about women? Well, I think they probably have that set up as well. Although I would say this, this is working. This men's stuff. And I hate to say this because, but Jim, I just need to say it. It becomes uncomfortable for us when single women want to come. It just becomes uncomfortable. And so if, you know, if you're, that doesn't mean you can't come. Okay. Husbands, you can bring your wives. That'd be good if you want to bring your wives. That's good. I've heard some that a mother wants to bring her two sons, and as long as she's with, you know, taking care of her two teenage sons, that's cool. But the idea of single women, am I missing something there? Does that sound sexist? So you get it, right? Anyway, we're going to go. We're going to go from December 5th, December 9th through the, like, the 14th or whatever. We'd love to have you. Jim, I don't know if you can get anything to add to that. Jim's done it. By the way, Jim said that he spoke to them down there yesterday, I believe it was, and they said the need, think of this, Trump, the need's just as urgent. After how long's it been? Been 2 months? The need is just as urgent. So we still have plenty of work to do when we get down there, and I'll get out of this cold weather here in Ohio. Maybe enjoy it. Anybody want to throw something out there real quick before I move on? Okay, cool. Jared, let's see what I got. Man, I got a million things. Let's do this. Let's do a little bit of a, how about a little bit of a review from what we talked about yesterday, because, man, I chewed on that baby all day long. Hey, thank God Rob Pugh didn't break his ankle. He was worried about breaking his ankle. He just probably, I told him, but he won't listen. I said, listen, man. Sprains, tears, they hurt worse than breaks. It's really, really painful. It's probably not a break. It's probably a tear, sprain. And it was. And it's just as bad. So, Rob, we feel there for you, buddy. And nope, you'll get around. You'll be okay. Any from yesterday, jump in here. Hello? Nobody? Nothing to say? Doesn't matter. I'll move on then. But I know
hey, that's we want right. more. We want more. That's what
I'm saying. Okay, well, we do want more, don't we? We do want more, and I want more. And I wrote. Do I go there right now, Lord? No, I don't do that. Hey, Jared, let's go to this. Go to Michael Heiser. It says Heiser Spiritual Warfare. Right under that, go to Michael. We're going to come back to that one, Jared. We'll come back to that. Go to right under. I want you guys to become aware of Michael Heiser. I'm going to try to get him on the show. I know Dr. Heiser. Here's part of the problem. He has a real job. So a lot of what Mike Heiser does, he does kind of in his spare time when he gets home from work and all that stuff, right? But here's his website, and it's kind of strange, really. It's well, I just Googled Michael Heiser, but that's not what's the website, Jared? What's it say up there at the top? I can't even see it. DRMSH. So it would be Dr. Michael S. Heiser.com. That's his website. DrMSH.com. And he's written a book. God, he's got all kinds of books out there. The Unseen Realm. I mean, these are books, folks, you ought to consider. I'm going to try to get him on. What's the other one? Oh, my goodness. It doesn't matter. Cutting edge stuff, I believe, Dr. Heiser's on top of. All that kind of tinfoil hat stuff, but I think is really, really a biblical. You want a biblical view of angels? He's got stuff on that. The perfect gift. Seek. I mean, a lot of good stuff. Jared, go to his books. I think there's a website there that says books. See if there isn't.
Reversing Hermann.
Yeah, Reversing Hermann. That's Mount Hermann, right? The Caesarea Philippi. Books. There they are. So a lot of great stuff on there, folks. And you can some of this, this journey we're going through, we have to do it on our own, right? We have to, this part of it, you gotta seek out guys that you trust and stuff that with you resonates with the Holy Spirit. And just a lot of good stuff here on Dr. Heiser's website. So again, because he works the job, I'll see if we can get him on. I don't know exactly how that's going to work. But Jared, having said that, now let's go back to the other website we have up there, because I want to share something with you here. This is just something he posted on his website, Dr. Michael Heiser. We talked yesterday about, you know, the demons and the impact of demons and disembodied spirits and evil spirits and unclean spirits. And Dr. Heiser, I came across this. I thought, man, is this good? If you don't mind me, David said Skywatch TV also. They got if you guys are into CDs and DVDs and all that stuff, of course, you can get on YouTube and you can find all kinds of stuff on that. But Dr. Heiser wrote this yesterday, and I hate to just read it, but I think it's important considering what we were talking about yesterday, okay? Question was, he answers, what is spiritual warfare? Because we do hear a lot about that, don't we? We really do. So he says one of the most popular topics in contemporary Christian interest in the power of darkness, spiritual warfare. As Arnold notes, many Christians have come to think of spiritual warfare as a specialized form of ministry, exorcism, deliverance ministries, or certain types of intercession. These ministries place a significant focus on confrontation with evil spirits. They call them power encounters. Episodes in the New Testament where Jesus, his disciples, and other apostles, such as Paul, cast out demons or challenge evil spirits are taken as a template backdrop to passages that talk about the spiritual war in which believers find themselves. Ephesians 6, right? We know what that is. Let me get this. I got something here on my screen. I'm sorry. There we go. Makes sense now. In which believers find themselves. The spiritual war that we all find ourselves in, okay? The Deuteronomy 32 worldview of the Old Testament has also recently become a point of reference for spiritual warfare ministries, specifically what is known as strategic level spiritual warfare. They got names for everything, don't they? SLSW. I would say this is probably maybe more the Sheila Zelensky thing, and we're going to get Sheila on later either. But here's what he says. Strategic level spiritual warfare is indebted to the notion of territorial spirit. That is, powerful, high-ranking spirits being beings that have authority over particular geographical regions of the earth. Proponents of this belief point to a number of biblical texts and themes in their defense of territorial spirits, including the idea that there are angelic authorities over all nations, Deuteronomy 32 and Psalm 82. Can you go to Deuteronomy 32 real quick, Jared, and see what that says? Deuteronomy 32, verse 8. Territorial spirits. You guys understand what that is, right? There's the Prince of Persia. There are different, okay, 32.9. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. So that's where they talk about spiritual, demonic powers having control, territorial spirits, okay? So he says, and that the gods, idols of the nations are actually demonic entities. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Okay. The most important text here is Daniel 10, which apparently depicts two evil spiritual beings, the prince of Greece and the prince of Persia, in the battle against God's angelic forces of good, including the angel Michael. In addition to these Old Testament texts, several passages in the New Testament are cited in support of this concept. And it's got them. If you want to do a study on this, you can. Scroll on down, Jared, please. heading somewhere. Stay with me. The leading figure behind this approach is C. Peter Wagner, who coined the term, and Eddie M. Bilby explained Wagner's approach. So here's what Peter Wagner says about territorial spirits. Building on the concept of demonic territorial spirits, proponents argue for the importance of several things that together comprise the primary focus and activities of this model. First is the concept of strategic level spiritual warfare, and Wagner coined this phrase in the process of distinguishing between the three levels of activity and practice of spiritual warfare: ground level, casting out demons out of the individual; the occult level, dealing with demonic forces within Satanism; finally, the strategic level, which is direct confrontational with the with territorial spirit. Okay, here's the point Michael Heiser is making here. This is a different level. Okay, so let's go on down. It says, while it's encouraging to see the Deuteronomy 32 word vote taken seriously, there's some serious flaws with defining spiritual warfare just in this terms. Okay, fundamentally, confrontation of the spirit world isn't the pattern that one sees in the New Testament in regard to the defeat of the fallen sons of God. There's that word again, sons of God. Remember, sons of God came down and sex had relationships with the daughters of men. As we saw, trying to hurry this along because it gets dry reading it. Going down the next one, Jared. Go below that. There we go. What this means in both theological and practical terms is that the spiritual warfare needs to be understood in the context of the conflict between the two kingdoms, kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Already during Jesus' public ministry, they see the binary opposition Jesus himself articulated. If I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Boy, I could preach right there on the kingdom of God. It is no coincidence that the expulsion of demons from people and places accompanied the inauguration of the kingdom of God. When the kingdom of God comes, demons leave. As the kingdom of God grows, the kingdom of darkness shrinks and loses ground. Y'all follow me here, because I've been kind of all over the place right here. I'm trying to get to this, right? As the kingdom of God advances, the kingdom of darkness grows. And I asked a question yesterday and on the Hagman Report. I'm going to have that 30-minute segment up on the website here. As the kingdom of dark, how have we lost control of America? How have we lost control? Is it territorial spirits? What is it? Well, Dr. Heiser says, as the kingdom of God grows, the kingdom of darkness shrinks and loses ground. Jesus never commanded his followers to confront spiritual entities. Instead, he gave the Great Commission. A spiritual entity might be driven away, but that doesn't necessarily result in a new soul entering the kingdom of God. This latter goal is the reason Jesus gave his life and rose from the dead. The work of Christ was not about power encounters with demons. It was much more comprehensive and enduring than that. The goal was to bring Eden full circle. In other words, fulfilling God's desire to have a human family with him forever. Punishing falling spirits did not accomplish God's original Edenic goal. Only the Great Commission accomplishes the ends to which God has been working, as well as the defeat and punishment of rebellious evil spirits. The Great Commission is thus a comprehensive plan for spiritual warfare. Stay with me. A careful reading of two passages used to support power encounter spiritual warfare bears out the preceding assertion that spiritual warfare is not about confronting spiritual entities, but about the furtherance of the gospel by committed believers. Boy, I don't know if you picked up on that. Spiritual warfare is done first and foremost and most effectively by the furtherance of the gospel by committed gospel believers. That's a mouthful there, isn't it? Isn't that a mouthful? And Ephesians 6 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, evil spirits, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. You might be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness, goes through the armor. Slide on down, Jared. I'm about done here. I've taken up 25 minutes. So here's what he says. In Paul's explanation of spiritual warfare to the church at Ephesus, he nowhere recommends that believers confront or admonish the supernatural powers and rulers. His list of weapons does not include exorcism against the spiritual forces or evil in the heavenly places. Instead, here's what Paul considered effective in spiritual combat against the forces of darkness. Remember, guys, this is why I was telling you about. I've been singing the song, "We Must First Win the Secular Battle." That is one of the most important weapons in our spiritual warfare. Win the secular battle. And what are the steps here? What's the number one weapon? Truth. Truth. Don't argue against the secularists. Present truth. Destroy their argument. The second weapon is righteousness. As we stand in righteousness, our power increases. I'm paraphrasing here. Three, the gospel. The gospel is important, but the gospel is not the only thing. The gospel is one of the weapons. Four is faith. As Larry would say, faith toward God, that he will do what he says he will do and that his word will do what it says it will do. These are how we vanquish spiritual forces. Salvation, when someone becomes saved, the kingdom of God increases. And if they become saved and then are trained in effective spiritual warfare, which is what? Truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, then their salvation helps repel darkness and expands the gospel of the kingdom. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. We need to learn the word of God, apply the word of God, and use it effectively. And eighth one is prayer. But isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that we want to put prayer at the very first thing, don't we? We want to put prayer. Because you know why we want to put prayer there? Because it's lazy. It makes us lazy. Not that prayer is not important, but we can say, well, I'm going to pray. And prayer becomes a substitute for action. So you do all these things. You use the truth, stand for righteousness, use the gospel, walk in faith, get saved, use the word of God. And as you do it, pray, but not just pray. And then the last one, perseverance. It's a battle. You don't win it in a day. There's a lot of effort and energy that has to go into it. And Paul said, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Due season, perseverance. It's not God's time yet. I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord. You feel it? You understand? This isn't just spiritual warfare. Isn't just coming in and chopping the head off of a demon. It's so much more than that. It's expanding the gospel. It's expanding the kingdom of God. Wow. See, it's not difficult to see that instead of powerful power encounters, spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6 is about having persevering faith in the gospel and in the word and in living a holy, prayerful life as a follower of Jesus Christ. The same strategy is evident in other passages. He goes into 2 Corinthians, although we walk in the flesh, we're not warring against the flesh, we're weapons of warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. See, Paul's description of how he fights the strongholds of darkness include neither exorcism nor efforts to evict territorial spirits. There's no confrontation of supernatural powers among his personal strategy. Rather, successful spiritual warfare in this passage destroys arguments. Wow. Wow. Casting down his imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing in captivity to the obedience of Christ. Oh, we need so much. While this is not spectacular, adherence to the truth and committed discipleship is what constitutes spiritual warfare. To be blunt, it's a lot harder to be blunt. Remaining loyal to truth and discipleship and spiritual war, to be blunt, that's a lot harder than yelling commands in the name of Jesus at a demon. It's good, isn't it? As disciples, we need to prepare ourselves to avoid demonization in the forms of false teaching, temptation, and sinful life. That's right, Jared. Let's read that again. As disciples, we need to prepare ourselves to avoid demonization in the form of, how does demonization come? False teaching, temptation, and sinful life pattern. Paul's characterization of spiritual warfare as adherence to the gospel and other scriptural truths and a prayerful, persevering life of righteousness are clear-headed and on target. Being obedient disciples is what makes us fit soldiers for Christ. The mission of every Christian is to carry out the Great Commission, the means by which the kingdom of God grows and the kingdom of darkness be seized. Boom. What do you think? Yep.
When Jesus cast the demons into the pigs, right? He just cast demons into the pigs, and then the people still rejected him. They still rejected building the kingdom of God. He said, boom, I'm going to save. But guess what? He got those two guys, I'm sure. But the rest of them rejected him. He built the kingdom in two people, but the rest of them rejected the kingdom of God. So he did. You know what I mean? He did it as an example. He cast them out as an example. He's like, boom, here's what I can do. Here's what we can do. Here's the power. But that's not the most important thing, that I cast these demons into the pigs. Now there's a vacuum. And now that the demons are out, I can fill it. But it's your choice.
Amen. Because the kingdom of God is within. Oh, I got to do a teaching again on the kingdom of God. I had a mic drop moment yesterday. Remember, I spoke at the Thomas Worthington High School yesterday. It was unbelievable. We just did question and answers. I had about 100 kids. It was all great. And you want to know? Can I show you my mic drop moment? Because I'm speaking to unsaved people, and they cannot understand spiritual things. We know that, right? We understand that, right? Huh? If the natural man receives not the things of the spirit, neither can they, because it's foolishness to them. So I'm trying to bring spiritual principles to people who aren't saved. It's foolishness to them. You want to know my mic drop moment? There was silence. I went over that room when I said it. Somebody says, well, somebody's talking about truth and yada, yada, yada. And you have your beliefs and you have their beliefs. And blah, blah, blah. I said, no. Listen, there's a standard of truth. There is a standard of truth. The light can't be both on and off at the same time. Right now, is the light on? Yeah, it's on. Is that true or not? Yes, that's true. Okay. Can the light be on and off at the same time? No, it can't be. No. So there is truth, right? There is truth. Okay. And they said, yeah, but you have your truth and I have my truth. They said, no. There's one truth. You have your opinion and I have the truth. And you don't think I have the truth. Can I tell you why you don't have the truth? Can I tell you why you don't understand? And I did the mic drop. You ready? I did this. I held up my phone. I said, what are those things? They said, apps. Yep, those are apps. And what do apps do? And they said, well, they connect you directly to this. I couldn't have written this. They connect you directly to the website or the authority. Yeah, that, I'm telling you, huh? And I said, yep, you're right. And you know why you can't understand it? You ain't got the app. You can't understand what I'm telling you, because I got the app. You know what the app is? It's the Holy Spirit. Because you don't have the computer app of the Holy Spirit, and you haven't received Christ as your Savior, you think I'm crazy. But it don't bother me, because I didn't have the app either till I downloaded it. Silent. So much so that when the bell rang, they would not, I'm not making this up, there were 15 of them that would not leave. And finally, the teacher came along and said, listen, you guys have got to go to class. You've got to go to class. She said it about four different times. And the only reason they went to class is, out of respect, I started to walk out of the room. They would have never have left. Well, they understand computer apps. They got that.
It's your gifting, Coach. You bring this out. You entice people to think for themselves. You really do. This is a gifting.
It is. I agree. I thank God for it. But you understand, it was a powerful moment. See, I didn't try. I didn't. They kept bringing up the Bible. I didn't. I didn't quote scripture. I didn't do any of that. Every secular argument they brought up, I destroyed. And they knew I destroyed it. And they couldn't figure out why. I said, I got a weapon you don't have. Go ahead, Larry.
You know, you so correctly mentioned that, you know, the gospel or the Great Commission is way, way more intricate than just one verse out of the Bible. Amen. You know, the same thing is true about the gospel. There is so much that the gospel entails that one 17-word prayer or a 2-minute presentation in a chick flick, or what do they call those things? A chick, one of the little things they pass out. Can't do it. Can't do it. And the same thing is true of prayer. There's so much about prayer that talking to God can't do it. You got to listen too. If part of your prayer regimen isn't listening, you're not praying.
Amen. Amen. And listen, I'm going to tell you this. I'm just going to say this real quick. And I'm going to shut up about it. I believe this is my belief. Doesn't have to be yours. Maybe we'll do a show on this. I believe the baptism in the Holy Spirit is something beyond salvation. That's my belief. It happened to me. I was saved, and then I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Those were two different experiences for me. And the people who don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit are those who ain't never had it done. They never got the app. And it's only the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. And you will agree with me, won't you, folks? The most of the church sits on the Holy Spirit. The last thing they want is that Holy Spirit, that Holy Ghost coming into their church. That's why they take their Sunday bulletin and they say, step one, step two, step three, step four, step five, no deviation from it. Pastor, I got something I would like to say. Well, we don't have time to do it because we got to get this. Right? And the powers of the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, because we don't understand and believe and have the app for the powers of the Holy Spirit, we have a hard time believing the demon. That's another app, too. Somebody come on in here.
Hey, Coach. Coach.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, you were talking about the Great Commission, and wow, that's just powerful what you're saying. It's so much easier just to talk the game and not be in the game. But you're right, the vast majority of Christians were not engaged in the Great Commission regularly, but that's where the fruit is, you know. And this old saying that the path of least resistance makes men and rivers crooked. And, you know, as Christians, Coach, I think I know myself, I have to constantly ask the Lord to put that desire for his will in my heart. Otherwise, you know what? I just go with the path of least resistance. And that's not where we want to be. That's not how we'll take ground for the kingdom.
George, man, I got goosebumps. Stay with me a second here, folks. I'm sorry. Somebody has something to say. Speak now or forever hold your peace. I'm heading. Jared, I just sent you something. See, this is the kind of stuff that gives me the willies. Now, what Jared is going to put up on the screen, I am in no way criticizing the man who sent this out. I know that I know him. I respect him. I love him. I honor him and the hard work that he's doing. But you do know this, right? You can do the right thing the wrong way. You do know that, right? Or you can do the wrong thing the right way. You can do both of those things, right? So I got this yesterday, and it just makes me want to scream. Because here in Ohio, they are pushing. Slide on down, Jared. I think it tells there. Is that it? Now, here's what mine says. There it is. The Ohio Christian Alliance. I'm not talking about. I love the guy. No, that's not it. You know, a Pastor Protection Act. The Pastor Protection Act. Jared, can you just pull up just the face, just the email I sent you? No, I think you clicked on through on it. Can you just go to? Okay. Because I didn't even read this stuff. I didn't even read it. But when I saw this, my skin began to crawl. Because we're just reading about spiritual warfare and our weaponry and what it's supposed to do, and we're supposed to invade, and we just read that. We just read that. And then we want to do it without any opposition. We think the Ohio State Buckeyes are going to beat Michigan without any opposition. So here we go. I get this yesterday. Ohio Pastor Protection Bill receives proponent testimony. They want to have a law protecting pastors. Does anybody see a problem with that other than me?
Huge.
Now, here's what I want. It says click here for testimony. I couldn't do it. I'd love to test. There
it is. Making government your God. Making government your protector, making government your provider, everything that is anti-Christ. He is my provider. He is my protector.
Right. And so you know what I wanted to do? I should have gone and testified and read the Riot Act of the pastor. How many of those guys standing there in that picture? I'm not being critical. I'm simply pointing out the truth. How many of those guys standing right there have spent 1 second out in front of an abortion clinic, you suppose?
We need a few pastors being arrested and
we do.
Like Paul.
Yep, yep. Somebody be the devil's advocate. Somebody tell me why I'm wrong to feel the way that I feel. Would somebody do that for me? Hey, Roger, I do a lot of stuff on the street. I ain't never asked for a law to protect me out there when I'm doing it.
Again.
I want a special law. I want a special law so they can't come to my church. And
I'm sorry. Here's a fine example that we do this, and I've corrected so many people, where people will come out there. I have this first constitutional right, the expression and the freedom of my religion. And I've told them from the pulpit, I've told the missionaries coming through, I said, this has got nothing to do with a constitutional protection. I said, this has to do with a biblical mandate that you go. It's not about whether, I said, if the Constitution was gone and you didn't have this mandate, would you stop preaching the gospel?
Well, Dale, not only that, the church is supposed to tell the government what to do. We don't go to the government for our rights, for heaven's sakes. How did things get so turned up? Please, Mr. Congressman, protect me. Please vote yes. It's the same thing they had yesterday on the heartbeat bill. Call your congressman. I believe in calling my congressman. Please, Mr. Congressman, protect babies. Are you? Is that what we've? Jared, okay.
Asking them to protect you is admitting they have the authority over you.
Larry, good point. Jared, Andrew Strom. That's one I just sent you, Jared. I don't know if you guys follow Andrew Strom at all or not, but this popped up in my email this morning. Isn't it amazing how the Lord orchestrates this show and where we're going? Couldn't do it on my
something.
Own.
Something that can be given can be taken away as well.
That's right. And so, so Andrew.
Well, we're submitting to authority. Now, just let me, I've got something here. I'm just going to read it. It's another one of my point by point things. I make these up as you guys are talking. The Great Commission, as I'm seeing this, the Great Commission is prosecuting God's renewed title to the earth. The world's ours to reclaim by Jesus' birth. Behold, woman, he said, I have made all things anew. Man alienated the title to this world. God became man to reclaim it. God owns it all again. Wow. We have legal title to this again. We gave Adam gave the earth to Satan or his counselors. He alienated the title. Jesus became God became Jesus man and reclaimed it.
Wow.
I mean, the beauty of that. Now, Roger can correct me. Line of title, alienation of title. Most of man now, however, is still complicit with Satan in rebellion to God.
Well, we Satan think he
has, now listen, here's the key. Satan and his allies are trespassers.
Amen.
He should assert the title of God to this earth. Yeah, warfare is spiritual. But when does God lead his army back? Where? To the earth.
Wow, that's deep, Lord.
The peace churches aren't churches at all.
No.
Okay. Oh, be quiet.
That's great, man. Andrew Strom, I have it up on the screen. He sends out daily misses. This one came across. He says, we've lost Christianity. Despite the thousands in our mega churches today soaking up the warm entertainment offered to them every week, I want to put it to you that we have lost Christianity. Despite the Christian books now found in every Walmart and the crossover of Christian artists into the mainstream and our Christian mega stores and CDs and DVDs and Bible studies, I want to put it to you that we have lost Christianity. Despite our lavish cathedrals in the suburbs, charismatic or not, with their pastel hues and comfortable pews, their projector screens and $30,000 sound systems, I want to put it to you that we've utterly lost Christianity. We left it behind somewhere when we shifted our churches from the inner city into the comfortable suburbs. We left it behind when we stopped welcoming the bums off of the street into our meeting. and started welcoming only respectable people. We left it behind when we stopped preaching, take up your cross, and turn the gospel into a success formula. 7 steps to your best life now. Somewhere in our comfortable suburban streetscape with its manicured lawns, we lost the real thing. Somehow in our concern for property values and a better dental plan, we left the gospel behind. But that's not the worst part of it. The worst part is that we don't know how to get it back again, Lowell. Or perhaps we don't really want to get it back again. The call simply doesn't bear thinking about, does it? And so we drive around in our nice shiny cars with our groovy plastic toys and attend church, as we know it, twice a week for a couple hours. And we live a life that is about as unlike Jesus as you can get. A life of comfort, coddling, undreamt of by billions around the globe. Billions of people around the globe could never conceive what it's like to be an American. Wow. A lifestyle in the top 10% of the earth today, in debt up to our eyeballs all the while. The fact is that we don't really care that we have lost original Christianity, do we? No, we're too busy. Don't bother us with that kind of talk. It'll be okay, the preacher tells us, when we all make it to heaven in the end. By the way, we're all decent people here. We've prayed the little prayer. We've given our heart to the Lord. But wait, what is this? Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and built big churches and cast out demons and had great programs? And haven't we done all these wonderful things? And didn't we have great Christmas services and Easter sales? And didn't we have people at the altar? And then will I say unto them, sorry, boys, I never knew you. Get out of here. You that work iniquity. Wow, huh? That's it. That's us. That's where we are. So, Lowell, do me a favor, Lowell.
Yes,
read again those notes that you wrote down, because they are absolutely profound. Folks, is by the way, Satan a defeated foe now, or will he be a defeated foe later? Because I hear from all my Christian friends, we win in the end. No, no, no. Have we won yet? Has Jesus won yet? When Jesus said, all power is given unto me both in heaven and earth, go ye therefore, has he already won or not? And I would put out on the table that the average Christian and the average Christian church doesn't think we've won. They think the devil is rightful owner of this land and we're just passing through and we'll make it to heaven because heaven's the goal. Lowell, read those notes that you wrote down.
Well, let me summarize something quick. It's June 5th, 1944. The war is won. We just got to liberate Europe. We got to liberate the world.
Amen.
Okay. So the Great Commission, he was raising into heaven, and Jesus said, spread it throughout the world. The Great Commission is to prosecute God's renewed title to the earth. The world is ours to reclaim by Jesus' birth.
So, Lowell,
he is
the King of Kings. He is right now the King of Kings, right? He is the Lord of
right
Lords.
Right now, here Satan, on this earth, Satan, he owns it. He got the title back. He got the title back.
Right now, under his feet. Right now, Satan is under his feet. Go ahead.
Yes. He said, behold, woman, I have made all things anew. He renewed the title to the earth. Just like when he first created it, before he gave it to man, he made it, well, he made it anew.
Mm.
Man alienated title to the earth. God gave it to him, and he alienated it to Satan. God became man in Jesus to reclaim that title.
Wow.
He became a man. Hey, I'm God. I created it. I gave it to mankind. Now I have become a man, a part of mankind.
It is finished.
I'm an inheritor of this.
It's finished. I've done it.
Yes, you're right. It is finished right there on the cross. Yes. So God owns them all again. We have legal title again. He has legal title.
But Satan is like a squatter, like them ones up in D.C. and stuff. And so what we need to do is go evict the squatters.
Amen. That's the gospel. Go ahead, Lowell.
Well, they'll finish there. You know, Jesus, the man God, reclaimed it. Okay. Most of man, however, is still complicit with Satan in rebellion to God. They're allies with Satan in rebellion to God.
Well, what did he say?
Satan and his allies, they're trespassers, just like illegal immigrants to throw in the day. Okay. And the peace churches that say just sit there and pray, they're not churches at all.
They're
cooperators, collaborators. They are collaborators.
Make up a hedge. Rebuild the walls. Is that what it says? Rebuild the walls. What do walls insinuate? Walls are what? Boundaries. Protection. Rebuild the walls. Oh, Lord. I'm glad I got up this morning. Somebody come in here.
Hey, that's why he said, cast out them devils.
Get them out of here. There's a wall around here. Get them out of here. Go ahead, Lord. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I got to back up a minute. Something you just read, that article you was reading about it's overwhelming my head right now.
Mm.
In Matthew, you talked about when they said, Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name.
And right. You said,
get away from me. I didn't know you.
Yeah.
I always read that as those were just false Christians or people just pretending to be Christians. But oh my goodness, I'm getting goosebumps. I just thought maybe these were people that were believers but never asked the Holy Spirit to indwell them.
Mm-hmm. Hey, coach, throwing
that out there.
Hey, coach.
Yeah.
Let me expound on what that passage of scripture, because you have your master's degree in language. Listen to what he said. The man approached Jesus and he said, did we not do these things in your name? That's past tense. Jesus' reply to him was, depart from me, you. That's present tense, you worker of iniquity. In other words, this is stuff you might have done, but that don't give you the right to sit on the sideline the rest of your life on your hands. You might have done those things, but right now, you better get up and you better do it or I don't know you.
Because he didn't endure to the end. They did all these great things. There was a time
when
they
did all these great things.
But, buddy, you're supposed to be found with a hammer in your hand, a sickle in one hand, and a sword in the other. That's where you're supposed to be found faithful to the Lord, Dale. That's unbelievable.
Hey, if you look at Matthew 25 there where you're talking, he had just told the sheep that you did it to these, the least of my brothers. I don't think that these changed in the next minute. I think that all those people did all those great things, but they did them out there to Satan's people. They did them to the world. They gave all those gifts and those pearls and that which is holy to the swine. They did all that mercy ministry to the world. They didn't save it for the church. Guess what? You can do the right thing to the wrong people, and it don't count for diddly squat.
Hey, Jared, pull back up that thing from Dr. Heiser again, if you can. Those things that listed the 9 steps. In fact, we'll make this available for you guys to be able to read this. What are the effective forces against darkness? Truth. Boy, I wish I had another 40 minutes because I'd love to work in my commentary today, which is entitled Safe in the Cages. I got that from David Arthur. Maybe I'll ride herd on that tomorrow. Fellas, number one weapon is truth. If you do not, when you put on the full armor of God, stay with me, right? What is it? The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, gird our loins with truth, shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace, carry the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and shield of faith with you might smite all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now look at this, folks. If the belt, on the full armor, the belt of truth, everything was connected to the belt. When a soldier put on his army, it all connected to the belt. And if he didn't have the belt on, nothing else mattered. He couldn't keep his armor on. And so our greatest weapon, I hate to tell you this, and no, I don't. The greatest weapon we have is truth. That's that is the weapon. Truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Truth is the ultimate atomic bomb. And once truth is unleashed, everything else falls in line. But you know what it is? Jesus said that you will know the truth. How many of us know the truth? I feel you, George. Come on in.
Hey, Coach, here's the truth, because this is right out of Scripture. Jesus is not returning to this earth. He's going to remain in the heavenlies until all enemies are put under his feet. So those people, and I was one of them, that have this dispensational thinking that, you know what, when things get bad enough, Jesus is going to come rapture us and bring us home. You know what? Right there's proof that we better get off our butts and do work every day to build his kingdom, because that's when Jesus will return, is when all enemies have been conquered and these evil systems have been put down. And that means us Christians doing everything we can every moment of the day to fight against this evil.
Well, the Lord asked when he returned, will I find faith on the earth? Will I find faith on the earth?
That's it. What will he find us doing when he does return?
Mm. Amen. Ephesians tells us the fivefold ministry is out there until his body comes into unity.
Is Mark Trump in here? I think I saw him earlier. Mark, I thought of you yesterday. Because you know what, brother? When I was in that class yesterday in front of those kids, I want you to know something, brother. There was a wave going out of me. And some of them were receiving it. They were twisting their dials. They were trying to zoom in a little bit more, but they were receiving it. There was something coming out of me that they were picking up on. Not everybody. And it gave me great hope. That if we will actively engage in this cultural battle, speaking the truth, not pounding them on the head with the Bible, destroying imaginations, casting down imaginations, and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. When you cast down those imaginations and you destroy their argument, boy, some more of those waves, Ben. I'm telling you, buddy.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Mark.
God spoke. Jesus spoke. We have the Holy Spirit, and it's our job to speak.
We got to turn the radio on, Mark.
And there was something coming out of you. It was the Holy Spirit coming out of your voice. It was the sword of the Spirit. It was the Word of God.
Yes, I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord. Something I've been waiting for all my life. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. What a time to be alive. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.